Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we've had some really sort of wacky weather these last few days, a little up and down. It's been warm, it's been cold, it's been rainy, it's been snowy, it's been icy, it's been warm.
Sometimes all on the same day.
So gardening might not be on people's minds. But we're going to be having some gardening tips here coming up in February, where we should be seeing temperatures hopefully start to warm up gradually and not, well, who knows what the weather trends are going to bring. But before we talk about our February gardening tips, if there's any teachers listening to us right now, they're going to want to sign their classes up for the Kids and Cows and More program coming up here in March. We actually did a show on this last year, if our longtime listeners may recall. If not, you can probably find it on the Good to Grow archives at ktep.org on the Good to Grow pages. But let us know a little bit about this Kids and Cows and Mores for teachers who are interested.
Yeah, definitely. It's a week-long, what we call agricultural literacy program, and it's held at the County Coliseum. And each day we have a group of school-age kids, usually from grades 2 to 6. And what they'll do is they'll visit different stations throughout the entire morning and understand where their food comes from. So we really pull in crops that are grown locally in El Paso that they may see kind of driving around on the outskirts of town in the farmland. And they go to these stations and they realize what are those inputs that go into making that food before it ultimately gets to their dinner table. So it's really important for them to make that connection, because I feel that even though we have really strong ties in agriculture in El Paso, we really kind of lost that because we're just so urban and we don't realize where our food comes from. So the children get to learn about pecans, about beef and livestock. Dairy is really another important and great interactive station, because they actually have a milking cow there where they'll do milking demonstrations on the cow. And then they'll also talk a little bit about bees and vegetables and how important those are to our, you know, overall scheme of agriculture, especially in this valley. And it's a really big program. It's in its 22nd year. It started in El Paso, and now it's held in not only all over Texas, but Oklahoma and New Mexico. So it's a really great way for teachers to, you know, get out of the normal routine and their scheduling field trips. This is a great one for them to be able to attend. So I encourage you to get more information on that.
Well, I'm not sure what it's like here in El Paso, but I know there's a growing trend in a lot of large metropolitan areas where you have, I don't know if you'd call them urban farmers, but there's a lot of expanded interest by a lot of people living in large cities to want to have their own chickens and to want to learn more about how to cook more local. And I think this is a really great way of introducing a new generation as to, you know, where your food comes from.
Yeah. And when you educate the kids, that younger generation, and say the next time they go up to the supermarket with their parents and they know where that gallon of milk came from, they'll begin to, we hope, to appreciate and understand that entire cycle and all that that gets involved into to getting them their healthy food.
So teachers, if you're interested in the Kids and Cows and Mores program, it's happening March 2nd through the 6th at the County Coliseum. Go ahead and register your classes. I'll have the email and the phone number posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. The number to call is 872-8791. That would be for Sandra Pierce. Again, that number is 872-8791. You can also call us here at the radio station, and we'll be happy to pass that information along to you. Well, we did a show on roses last week, and we had Mark Benitez in here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about roses, I'm sure, throughout the month. It's a big rose month, but they're having a big rose pruning demonstration at the end of February, February 27th and 28th, from noon to 3 each day at the Municipal Rose Garden. And roses, it's going to be a little bit of the tips we're going to be talking about a little bit later as well.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the most important things, even though it is kind of quiet and kind of still cold because we're still in wintertime, a lot of your big box stores, your nurseries, your wholesale clubs are also carrying a lot of what we call bare root roses. And those are going to be in a plastic sleeve tied up with a string. And then you just see about 6 inches of stems coming out on them. And there's a lot of different types of roses that are available, bare root, if you will. But one of the important things to remember is if you all want to look into purchasing one, you want to make sure to dissolve and let that bare root rows kind of sit in warm water for a period of time before you plant it into the ground. And that's really important because they'll treat them in the nurseries with this waxy covering to prevent any water loss, because they're essentially going to go straight to a shelf in a store. And then who knows what those humidity conditions are, and they're not, you know, going to be watered because they're not in a traditional pot. So it's important to make sure that you want to remove that so that you can allow for that water to start being able to be taken up by the shrub once you plant it into your garden.
Is that the only plant that they use that bare root technique for? Because you don't really see too many trees or other shrubs being sold with waxy covered roots.
Yeah, you know what? And roses are one of the most important, if not the most popular ornamental plant in home gardens. So that's why you'll see them more in roses. But they also sell bare root trees as well. And they're usually kind of covered in burlap and probably a lot larger trees. These bare roots may not be the best selection for you. I mean, roses are really high maintenance as well. And you want to make sure you get a good rose for this area that can stand not just the drought, but also the heat. We have a really high light intensity here, especially in the summertime. So do a little research and take a look to see what's available out there. A rose in its own pot, in its own root system, in a container is going to be better for you to transplant into the garden. But if you want to do the bare roots, you got to make sure you take those steps to ensure you're successful.
Well, again, February is a great time to select and plant your roses, and that's one of our February tips. And pruning, we did talk a little bit about it in past shows. You can probably hear some of our past shows on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, but maybe can you give us just sort of a quick, in case maybe people weren't listening last week, just sort of a quick idea on how much or how little we do need to prune our roses.
Yeah, you know, roses can be pruned very severely, between a third and a half off that existing canes to really encourage the blooms to be able to grow. But a really quick and easy way to distinguish what needs to be pruned off on any plant is anything that's dying, it's diseased, or it's damaged. So those three D's are going to be able to ensure you to kind of go there and select. That's going to be your criteria to say, okay, what needs to come off and what doesn't. It's really important, first of all, human hazards. You want to make sure that it's not obstructing anything important or not going to damage or hurt you. So always keep that in mind as well. That could be for a little rose bush to a large big tree. So you want to make sure that you keep human safety, first of all. But definitely using those 3Ds and kind of looking through there. And just because it's pruning season, if you will, don't feel that you need to be out there and be aggressive and do what we call topping trees. That's only going to encourage this new flimsy growth. It's not going to be able to withstand any of those high winds or any of our drought conditions.
You know, I've heard that there are people who've had rose bushes for years and years and generations. They don't really touch them or prune them back at all. They just sort of stay there and they just keep putting out flowers each and every year. Are those sort of a rarer type of rose to find nowadays, or can you still find breeds like that available?
Yeah, you could definitely find a lot of long-lasting blooms and continuous bloomers. And they could just have a great little microclimate where what they'll do is they won't set hips, so they won't go to seed, and they'll just continue to set all these buds and continue to grow. But yeah, there's a lot of neglected landscapes around town that you can see that one rose bush just going every year. But even if you have a rose bush that maybe you haven't done anything and it just kind of sits there, it's a great way to learn about rose pruning. The master gardeners really do an exceptional job pruning all of those 1,000 rose bushes in that little rose garden that we have in the middle of town.
And when is the municipal rose garden again going to be open to the public?
It's open to the public starting March 1st. After that, the master gardeners will be there, not every day like they are right now preparing for the pruning season, but they'll be there Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And they're always looking for community members to come out there and join them and learn from them. So feel free to stop by. It's nothing formal. Just stop by and ask questions, and there's a lot of knowledgeable master gardeners and rosarians that are out there. You see a lot of roses also being sold as topiaries, where they're like one long center stem and then like just like a ball of rose blooms on there. Look at those for just kind of some impact, if you will. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so you'll be able to see a lot of miniature roses in the market. That's another great way to start, to get a nice little potted rose plant and then throw it out in your, well, not throw it, but, you know, put it out in your planting beds and then, you know, just take care of it and start kind of looking to see when those new buds start coming out and pinch off the old ones to continue and promoting that, that growth on there.
So those little miniature roses that they sell for Valentine's Day, they're good for being planted outdoors because when you see them in stores, it looks like almost they should be houseplants.
Yeah, definitely. And they are in their own roots. They're in their own container. You're probably just going to have to bump it up at least one or two bigger pot sizes so it can kind of grow into itself. But there's a lot of different little great little colors and also nice little effects to the petals, little pointed petals at the end. So there's a lot of great things to choose from there. So think about that.
So weather's going to be warming up here as we get into February. And so what are we going to need to be thinking about? You were saying before the show that it's never too early to start thinking about your summer garden.
Right, exactly. So we're always, you know, we always operate like one season ahead of everybody else because we try to anticipate and put all of our programming to be able to meet those needs for everybody. And one of the things to think about is to plan and do your homework ahead and sketch out your garden and what do you want to do and what are those goals that you want to do and really be realistic. A lot of seasoned gardeners, I encourage them to try something different, whether that's a new type of plant that they want to grow or a new technique they want to try out. But even for beginning gardeners, don't feel overwhelmed and you know, don't just get this glassy-eyed look when people start walking in the garden centers and say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. Also be realistic about how much time that takes because it's wonderful. It's a great way to be able to get some exercise, be outside, enjoy the outdoors, but it's a lot of hard work too. So I'm always very conservative with that and say start small. Containers are great to grow ornamentals and vegetables. So, you know, start with that, take a look and learn and continue to ask questions and do some research and use this as one of those resources for you to be able to find really that gardening niche that you're interested in.
Well, every now and then, like I was saying, our weather sort of been up and down. And when the weather does get sort of nice and pretty, people may have the urge to go into the gardening centers. Is there anything there right now that's even worth considering picking up?
Definitely. Look at all of the brand new tools that are out there. There's a lot of great things that, you know, even if you have a really good quality of pruning shears or loppers, you know, you want to make sure you take good care of them. So make sure they get filed down correctly. They're stored correctly. So those kind of priming stuff, because the last thing you want to do is be out in the middle of the garden and something, you know, gives out. But look at that. And then also you want to take a look to see anything for your soil amendments. It was another great thing to be able to look at. So you want to get some compost in your soil. You want to start working that soil. There's some winter weeds also going to start popping up, but they're not up already. So you want to make sure to be proactive and be able to take care of that.
And speaking of those weeds, we are going to be talking more about how you can treat those weeds with herbicides or with pre-emergence. We'll talk more about that on a future Good to Grow. But that's it for now. We're out of time. But we're going to be posting our February gardening tips on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And again, if you have any questions, contact the Master Gardeners at 860-2515, 860-2515. And you may want to drive by the Municipal Rose Garden every now and then. You might run into a Master Gardener and, you know, you can ask your question to him or her while you're there.
That's right.
And we want to thank our guest engineers, DJ Orozco and Belinda Fernandez, for helping out today. We want to thank you so much for listening. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.